Just like in the like recent week, like we probably had like, this is the first week kind of like it got started. We probably had already like $20,000 worth of transactions with Bitcoin, which is like pretty cool. It's also like weird to see the people that have Bitcoin. You would never think that like this guy like has anything to do with Bitcoin. We're still trying to figure out how to exactly get to these, get to the people that would like to pay with Bitcoin.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Dor Korngold, who is the founder of ModBikes, which is a premium e-bike brand based in Austin, Texas. One thing you're going to hear in today's interview is that Dor is not necessarily a Bitcoiner, but when he was approached with the opportunity to accept Bitcoin in his business, he decided it was at least worth a shot, and so far it seems to be working out for him pretty well. We're going to get to our interview with Dor right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with a Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Dor, welcome to the podcast.
How's it going?
Going well. So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. So you ready for these?
Yeah.
Question number one is this: when and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
I'm always kind of like into kind of like new stuff. And Bitcoin was, you know, always on the background and like just crypto in general. Few months ago, actually, our sales manager, Mike, kind of like brought the idea of like, hey, why aren't we accepting Bitcoin? And he met John from Satoshi Help, which helped us to implement Bitcoin. So I thought I knew like a thing or two about Bitcoin until the moment I met John. And then I realized that I have no idea what Bitcoin is. I would say like it was probably like 3 months ago, 4 months ago when I first met John, where I can actually say that like I, you know, had my first Bitcoin lesson.
Sure. Well, and for what it's worth, I think a lot of people who have been studying Bitcoin for years feel that way in comparison to others who have been in the arena even longer. So it's not something that's unique to you for sure. But yeah. That being said, the second question is, what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood, given that, you know, you only have 3 or 4 months of awareness of Bitcoin? I don't know what your answer will be here, but what is an insider fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
Just maybe that it's like not that scary. I would say, like, to be honest, I don't know anything about Bitcoin. Maybe just a tiny little bit more than the average person. But I would say that, like, from kind of like hearing from people that are more knowledgeable about Bitcoin, like, I know that there's like something in there, and I know that it's like much more complicated. And like, you know, I don't know anything about a dollar. You know, like sure. That's also very complicated, and like most people don't know anything about that. So I know there's like something in there, and I know that it can possibly be good. And I think that kind of like what we did is just said, like, you know, why not? Let's give it a shot. So I would say, like, just the message is just like, you know, don't be scared about new things, and kind of like be open to, you know, learn and, you know, test new things, and, you know, let's see what happens.
So question number three is about a Bitcoin resource that you recommend to people. That said, do you have a resource that you would recommend, or do you feel like you're not able to really answer that question too well at the moment?
Yeah, to be honest, like in my case, like John is the resource from Satoshi Health. Like without him, like there's no way that I could have had kind of like the courage to, you know, jump into this. And I think that there's more people out there that have that, you know, have that knowledge. And I would say for like businesses like me, like you don't have to do it yourself. It's not like something that you just have to like jump in the water yourself. And what I see from this kind of like Bitcoin community that like slowly I'm kind of like discovering more and more of these type of people. There's like a lot of people and kind of like everyone is with the goal of, you know, getting like Bitcoin out there and like make it like standardize it and like kind of like bring it into more businesses and like make it into like an actual, you know, currency that people that more people can use like day to day. And they're willing to help and not for like, you know, not for a lot of money or like it's not, I don't think that they're doing it for the money. I just think that they're doing it because that's why they, because they believe in the currency. And I think that probably most people that are into Bitcoin is because they believe in the currency. So it's nice to have a kind of like a supportive community that is willing to, you know, help with that. And a lot of people that are in this process of implementing Bitcoin on our business, we ran into those people like John or like Michael from like Oshi, like a, you know, rewards program. So, and all of them are like very helpful and, you know, were willing to help us at, you know, at any point and still are.
And that's a great point. I think there are a number of people that, they hear about Bitcoin and they think they're going to just become a millionaire overnight. And those types of people don't usually stick around for that long. There are a lot of people who are doing great work on the ground, like John Gordon, like Michael Atwood, and you know, especially in the Austin area, there's just so many different people who are doing great work on the ground. Those are the people who are in it for the long run. They're in it because they think that Bitcoin can lead to a better world. And so they're kind of setting aside the immediate gains right now, investing in a business or investing in, you know, building their network, helping other people, believing that in the future they'll see gains from what the hard work they're putting in today. Now we're going to get outside of Bitcoin a little bit here. Beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your business recently?
Well, YouTube. like I'm, on one side I'm joking, on the other side, you know, like that's you know, that's like something that I built this business from Google and YouTube. You know, I had no experience in any of what I'm doing currently, and even this, like, you know, journey of like implementing Bitcoin, or you know, just kind of like the power to do your own like research and learn from like other people's experiences and their willingness to help has been a giant resource. And I, you know, it's kind of like obvious for a lot of people, but I think that for a lot of people, the figuring things out on your own, it's not something that they're used to on kind of like day-to-day basis. So, you know, as simple as the, you know, this answer is, I think, you know, that's what I, that, you know, that's kind of like what I think and what I want to communicate to, you know, everyone else.
Well, it's simple, but it's profound. And that's the idea that the internet gives you access to so much information, and anyone can get access to it. Some people, they might have to jump through a couple hurdles, you know, go to their library or whatever else. But we have all this information at our fingertips. The question is, who's willing to take it, learn from it, and put it to work? So, I mean, there's a bit of a generational divide as well, where if I want to learn something, YouTube's one of the first places I usually go. And maybe it's because I'm a visual learner as well. Yeah. I don't know, but there's a certain age, and I don't know what that age is, but like people just don't even think about going to YouTube to learn. Like anecdotally, I was talking with a friend the other day who's gotten a lot better at cooking. He's a younger guy, and not all young guys care to cook, but he's gotten a lot better. And his dad's a great cook. He used to cook in the, be a cook on a ship in the Navy. And I asked him if it was because of his dad that he knew how to cook so well. And he said, mostly like he cooked growing up, but I didn't learn from him. I learned from going to YouTube. And it's just interesting. I'm not saying that's the best way to do it. I think learning from older generations is great, but we just have so much information now. Yeah. Anyway, so now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question. And it's this: as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
I'm definitely a why not person. And why not? There's like two things to kind of like consider is like, what's the worst thing that can happen if I'll, you know, choose this like route? And the second one is, can I go back through that door? So with a lot of things that I, you know, that like I personally do, or that we do at the company with the, you know, any ideas, you know, just like, why not? And like, let's think about it. Like, what's the worst that can happen? And like, okay, so can we take it back if it, you know, if it doesn't work? Mm-hmm. And most of the things are is like a two-way door where you can like try and experiment. And then like, if not, then, you know, just go back. But yeah, if you're not going to try, you're not going to know.
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. Well, Dor, we're here today to talk about your business, obviously how you're incorporating Bitcoin into it. But first of all, maybe if you would share with us about Mod Bikes and a little bit about how you got into business, because some of your answers earlier kind of suggest that this wasn't your plan all along. So what is Mod Bikes and how did you actually develop this business?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Israel. I grew up there and lived there all my life. And at some point, I always liked bikes and I was always like a tinker. I always had like my small workshop where I would like, you know, build furnitures, go-karts, winches, like, you know, just whatever I could think about. Like, I love that. I'm good at that. I'm good at like, you know, breaking things apart and kind of like figuring out how things work. So that was always like a part of me. I was in like a complete different industry. I was like doing like parties and like worked at like sound and light and putting stages together and more in kind of like that nightlife stuff. And that whole routine at some point, you know, 18 hours a day and like working nights and all of that was too much. I got an opportunity to like manage like a bike shop, which initially kind of like was like, you know, kind of like downgrading, but I saw the potential there. Israel is a lot more advanced, or it was a lot early to adopt the whole e-bike thing. And I saw the potential there. I decided to take that role. I ended up, that shop ended up to be like an 18 branch franchise that I was a part of that kind of like growth. In the same time as, you know, as I usually do, I take things, break them apart and put them together and figure out how that works. Ended up building for myself like a few e-bikes to commute to work back and forth. It was like a 30 minutes, like, you know, sitting in traffic if you're taking the car, or like a nice 10-15 minute ride on the beach. So I made myself a few bikes in order to kind of like commute to work. And that kind of like triggered the idea of like starting a company. The US was kind of like our, you know, was my first target, since it did not exist here like 6 years ago. It was very early. And yeah, with like two other like business partners, we like this thing kind of like happened. I knew nothing about starting a business, especially like in a different country, and nothing about like manufacturing, importing, and all of that. And with the help of YouTube, Google, and Facebook, really, I kind of like started to put things piece by piece. We launched in Austin in 2018 with six models. We were mainly focused in kind of like the local area to first like see if that even, you know, if that concept even works. At those early days, we had to spend like 30 minutes with the customer just to explain what electric bikes are. And then the moment that they hop on it and hit the throttle and the smile on their face, that was like amazing to see. And from that time we grew, and now, Mod Bikes have about 15, 18 employees, in Austin and around the world. We just moved to our like a new headquarters, last year. We're shipping bikes, mainly within, you know, within the US, but also internationally, working with a lot of like businesses, and we design our own bikes, A to Z, and accessories. That's what we do.
So, you know, I'm outside of Jackson, Mississippi, which Jackson is the capital of Mississippi, but it's a fairly small capital city, and I don't see a whole lot of e-bikes around here. A few months ago when I was in Austin, they're all over the place. So Did you plan to move to Austin because it was just such a big center and you thought that e-bike adoption there would be an easier sell? Or what went into you starting out in Austin? Maybe you already lived there, but I know that at one point you were in Israel. So I'm kind of curious about that timeline. Why yeah. Austin for Mod Bikes?
Before moving here, like I was never in the States before. I knew, you know, nothing except like, you know, watching movies and things like that. But my business partner that actually lives in Houston recommended to come and check out Austin. Landed in Austin, and it just kind of like, it was perfect. The weather, it's kind of like a year round, you know, cycling city. The infrastructure here is like, you know, not the best, but also like not like pretty good. And everything is like central Austin has a pretty good hub that people can still commute. People like to be outside here, unlike a lot of like other places where, you know, people don't go outside. So everyone are very active in Austin. And I just like landed here, and like it just looked perfect. It was kind of a gamble. I didn't like went to like explore other locations. I was very early also into like my, you know, business role, and worked out great. I love it here. Yeah, I moved here with my, like, after kind of like coming to check it out for 2 weeks, went back home, packed everything, and moved here with my wife. And it was the best decision. I don't think that there's any other place better than Austin that we could have, you know, be in. And as I said, we just said, why not?
Yep. And is the competition for e-bikes pretty high in the Austin area? Because once again, I mean, I saw a lot there. Are you guys one of the main players, or is it just a ton of shops out there trying to, you know, capture the market?
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of bike shops in here. We are one of the only kind of like brands that have like a brand shop. I think we're the only like Austin, the only Austin e-bike brand that have survived like, you know, that long. And we, like one of our most important things is customer service and kind of like build that community around the brand. It's more about kind of like long-term relationship and not just about, you know, selling bikes and that's it. We've built like a very, very good community here, and you know, we have collected like a lot of very good reviews and a lot of like referrals from existing customers. So I wouldn't say there's not, there's definitely competition, but we're giving a good fight.
Yeah. Well, and you talked about how you kind of have a unique brand. So maybe if you would explain to us a little bit about the mod side. Do you create everything from scratch? Do you take current bikes and kind of upgrade them? What is the mod part of Mod Bikes? How does that factor into what you're doing?
Yeah, it's kind of a, you know, it's half of a retail, we're half a retail business, half kind of hospitality. Because we like, first of all, like what makes mod is, you know, the customer service and the whole experience of like from the moment you give us a call or like you go into our website or interact with one of our like sales rep over the phone or video or whatever that is. I think, you'll get that feel right away. We design bikes from the ground up. So everything from the frames to all the components, we're mainly focused on like everyday rider. So we're not building like, we're not designing bikes for like bikers. So it's not for like professional use. We're focused on, you know, people like you and me that just want to get from A to B or go have fun on the weekend. We're trying to put as much value as we can into like functional everyday features. So all of our bikes have like dual suspension and like a throttle, and all of them kind of like make sense with the whole, you know, with the whole design. We have a lot of patents on different accessories that we make. We have a snap-on rack that we designed that allows you to easily snap on and off accessories. So it's a combination of like the, you know, the bike themselves, which are really, really good, high quality bikes in a very competitive price. All of the components we're trying to kind of like make the most value and the most and the most reasonable price point. And on the other side, it's the service and the experience of buying the bike and get it serviced. So most of our customers, like all the local customers, they'll also come in for like service if it's here in Austin. But also we have different programs for customers, you know, across the states for that kind of like customer service. And that's kind of like our, you know, secret sauce is that like healthy combination between both the product and the experience.
Yeah. You have some pretty cool designs on the website, and that's going to be linked in the show notes for people who want to check it out. One of the things you have is sidecars. I'm guessing that's for pets and not for children. I could be wrong about that, but is that a pretty popular feature, or is that a fairly niche?
Yeah. For some people, their pets are like their kids. So it does work for both, but mainly like most of the customers are like getting that for their pets. That's one of our like best sellers. It's a great product. We've been like pioneers in the sidecar world. It's very complicated to make a sidecar work for everyone. And we also have a bunch of patents on the actual sidecar design and like the whole like mechanism that we were able to, we have like 80 plus year old, like, you know, ladies like riding the bike with their sidecar with the pets, and like, they love it. It's awesome. And it's very kind of like easy to operate. So yeah, that's a very, like one of our best sellers, and, also a big mod factor.
Yeah. What are some additional design features that customers are big fans of across the spectrum of bikes you have?
I think for everyone, like once you hop on a mod bike, just everything makes sense. So I think that sometimes like people are trying to do too much. So it's like too complicated, or, you know, so our bikes, when you hop on, everything just makes sense. It's comfortable. Like, you know, everything is within reach. All of the features are like features that people are using every day when they're riding. There's a lot of like small details. There's not like one specific thing. It's just the attention to all the small details that we put on our side. So then when the customer hops on a mod bike, he just like hops on it and it just like works. It makes sense. And it's reliable. You know, as I mentioned, like we have our like snap-on system that is like super cool, and a bunch of accessories that fit into that, like baskets and bags and racks. So, and child seats, so people can use their bike for like their different needs and swap accessories throughout the day. Like, for example, today, I took my 3-year-old that just had his birthday yesterday, to daycare. So I snapped on my, rear, child seat, dropped him off, went back to the house, took that child seat off, put my, trunk back, and got all of my, like, lunchbox, computer and everything, and headed to work. So that's super cool. We just launched our new collection, which has, a new, torque sensing electric system with a customizable, display, the customizable, like, color display where you can control and customize the way that the bike operates, which that translates into a very nice and smooth feel that you can, tailor to how you like it. So the whole thing with mod is like to be able to modify your ride. So you have the bags, you have all of the accessories that you can modify according to what you need on your day to day. But also on the electric system side, we have a very wide range of customers from different ages to, like, you know, like males, females, and like the families with kids, with dogs. So it's not like a one, you know, kind of like one, you know, one style fits all. So what we did also on the electric system is we made it so you can kind of like, just like your phone, go in and customize, like, how fast it accelerates, like, what is the speed limit, like, how responsive is the throttle or the pedal assist, which is something that, like, we kind of like do one time for customers so they're comfortable with it. If it's like someone like new to the e-bikes and he needs like something more subtle where, you know, it's slowly accelerating and it like caps off at like, you know, 20 miles an hour, we can make that adjustment. Or if it's someone that is like very confident on e-bikes and just, you know, want it all out, then we can make those adjustments as well. Or if it's someone that wants to extend, you know, like go like commute like the long distances, then we can make those adjustments in the system, as well as our Snap-on Snap-on rack can take a second battery, and all of our new models can take a second battery, which can extend the bike, double the bike's range, basically. So it's, you know, it's all about kind of like that, again, like all of those accessories and the features. But it may sound like a lot now, but like that whole experience of like talking to one of our team members, explaining exactly what you're looking for, and having one of our team members to kind of like tailor a package that, you know, fits specifically for you and how you like it.
Moving to Bitcoin, what has the response been from customers? I'm guessing, I'm assuming that you may have had some more people who are Bitcoiners interested, but have people been interested in paying in Bitcoin? Has it started conversations? What's it been like so far?
Yeah, actually, with kind of like just getting it out there, I think we're kind of like learning on how to get to those people, because obviously Bitcoin is not for everyone, and you can't just like, you know, put like a, you know, send a blast an email to everyone like, hey, we're accepting Bitcoin, and everyone's going to be, hey, cool. It's still like a new thing, and still not a lot of people have Bitcoin, and even the ones that have don't even know what they actually have. But I would say just like in the like recent week, like we probably had like, this is the first week kind of like it got started, we probably had already like $20,000 worth of transactions with Bitcoin, which is like pretty cool. It's also like weird to see the people that have Bitcoin. You would never think that like this guy like has anything to do with Bitcoin. So far it's been good. It's been interesting. It's been like a good experience. Some people are like excited, and they like that we're kind of like a part of this like movement and a part of this like community. We're still trying to figure out how to exactly get to these, get to the people that, would like to pay with Bitcoin. So, and I think also like a lot of people just, like maybe they're in Bitcoin, but they don't want to spend their own Bitcoin. So it's still also like very early. But like, you know, we love to, like, it's awesome that we're a part of something like in this like early stage, just like we were with e-bikes, you know, 6 years ago. So I'm sure it's something that's going to grow, but so far the signs have been great.
Yeah. And honestly, that's better than I would have anticipated. I've talked with a number of Bitcoiners who own businesses and talk with them about what it's been like accepting Bitcoin. It's more of an educational thing for them very frequently. Like, they don't necessarily get that many sales. So to have gotten five figures in sales since starting, that's pretty cool. And obviously it'll probably be a little bit quicker. You'll have some people that want to support you for adopting or for accepting Bitcoin. But I also imagine that it's not a purchase that people just flippantly make. Like, e-bikes aren't cheap. And they're not they're, you know, obviously far cheaper than a lot of modes of transportation, but there probably will be a lag between when people learn about the fact that you accept Bitcoin and when they make a decision to purchase. So also, I will say that a lot of people that I know have purchased Bitcoin in the last few months, like, I just like to give them the perspective that this is a much better time to buy than when I bought, because I bought in 2021 and things were kind of in a downtrend for a long time, and this is the time to be accepting it. There's likely going to be a good run up in price in the next year and a half or so, and people are probably going to be a lot more comfortable spending their Bitcoin when it's appreciated, hopefully multiple times. So it's a cool place where you are, and hopefully it'll be an incentive to continue learning more and more about Bitcoin along the way.
Yeah. I would say also, like, as an e-commerce, from, you know, like, I don't know of a lot, like, I know a lot of businesses went kind of like on and off, and, you know, some of the businesses that are like not on, you know, the e-commerce side or have like a more kind of like a limit in the area. Obviously that makes a big difference for us. Like, the fact that we're, you know, everyone across the world can, you know, basically, purchase with Bitcoin, like, gives us, you know, just kind of like a bigger bucket that we can approach. So, you know, that part is great. And I definitely do also see the whole, like, you know, referral system and the whole kind of like community, since, like, it is kind of like very community based. So, you know, it's going to be kind of like word of the mouth of like, hey, I just bought a, you know, an e-bike with Bitcoin, and like, you know, and people will do that referral. We also, the referral program that we have, it kind of like gives like each side like 5% cat like Bitcoin back, which is pretty cool for us. Also, like, you know, lowering down the transaction fees and all that. Like, it's a, you know, it's a cool benefit that we get from accepting Bitcoin. So yeah, that's all like cool stuff.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward. Hopefully in the future, we'll be able to chat again and see how things have been going. But it sounds like you have a great business on top of that. Hopefully some more people will be interested in purchasing because of the Bitcoin side of things. But, you know, without Bitcoin, the most important thing is you have a good business that's providing, you know, a bunch of value to people. So Sounds like you've locked that down at a great time for e-bike adoption, and got a good thing going. Any final thoughts before we finish up as far as mod bikes or other insights that you think listeners, especially business owners, might glean some value from before we finish up today? Then maybe share also where you'd like for people to go.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you for the opportunity for the interview. It was nice. I would say, like, first, you know, for other business owners, why not? So far experience, you know, as you know, at this point, probably you can all realize it yourself, has been interesting and cool and valuable. And I definitely see this like growing. And some of the resources that we mentioned, like, you know, John and Michael, that people like that, that can possibly help other businesses with implementing Bitcoin. And then definitely invite everyone to visit us at mod-bikes.com and check out our bikes and products. We also offer like virtual demos, so you can on the website schedule a virtual demo with one of our team members and get kind of like that, you know, personal fit, or just to even like learn about e-bikes. So definitely invite everyone to go there and, you know, learn more and schedule a virtual demo. That's about it.
Great. Well, Dor, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Dor, you can find those links down in the show notes. And next time you're in the market for an e-bike and want to pay in Bitcoin, check out ModBikes. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.